Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking Packers football. We're looking back at a Green Bay loss on Sunday. Little unfortunate, but we push on. To talk about this Packers loss, we have a guest joining us to kick off the show this morning. We have Scott Wisniewski of the Kielbasa Kings podcast at BuckysFifthQuarter.com. I'm glad to have him on the show. I've been a guest on their show. I wanted to repay the favor. So, Scott, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Brian.
Very good. Let's get right to it here, Scott. Packers lose 34-30 to the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday. Who's to blame for yesterday's loss?
Wow, who's to blame? I think it's a shared blame, and I was kind of thinking this over last night. You know, you could put 10% of this on Jeremy Ross. You could put 10% of it on David Bakhtiari, and then the rest of it gets split right down the middle between Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy. Aaron Rodgers did not have a good game, obviously. He seemed out of sync from the first snap, very irritable. And Mike McCarthy for the play call. I mean, to me, I've always said for the last 4 or 5 years that this team is not a smash-mouth football team. And then when they didn't have their best short-yardage running backs even available, they decide they want to be a smash-mouth football team at the worst possible time. I just thought it was a bad play call. I think you kick the field goal there and you go up by six. The way the defense had played, they played pretty admirably. I think you win that game. But instead, we saw how it backfired, and I think because of that play call and some of the other interesting play calls in the game, I think McCarthy and Rodgers share the blame for this loss.
You know, I'm typically a person where I'm hesitant to blame coaching, although no doubt about it, I 100% agree. The fourth down play call to send James Starks into the teeth of a good Bengals defense doesn't make sense to me. I agree, that was a blunder that should have been taken back. The thing is, I don't know, how much can you blame the coach for that one play call, though? I know others want to blame him for the red zone play calling. Do you think that was a problem?
Yeah, I think there was some of that, too. I thought some of the plays lacked diversity. Listen, Mike McCarthy, don't misunderstand. Mike McCarthy has won games for this team with his play calling. Aaron Rodgers, they're going to win way more games than they're going to lose. I typically don't blame a coach either. I think in that one critical moment, though, I mean, ultimately when it comes to play calling, he's the end-all, be-all, and he takes, you know, he takes the blame for it. You know, he's usually a guy who's the stand-up guy when it comes to stuff like that. But I didn't like the play calling as a whole in general yesterday, and some of it might have been the way the plays were executed. Again, Aaron Rodgers didn't have a great game. The offensive line still struggling to pass protect. So I think you can blame some of that, too. And that's why I kind of split things up a little bit equally. But I wasn't happy with some of the red zone play calling either. But just, man, that one play, that one focal moment, you know, when you're in a close game, when you're in a tight game, you have to be able to finish off these games. And that play call was just so glaring.
And no doubt about it. I mean, obviously, the play gets returned for a touchdown. The fumble does, and, you know, the rest is history. But, Scott, I wanted to gauge kind of how you felt at different points in the game yesterday. You know, take me back to the first quarter. How did you feel when the Packers got down in that 14-0 hole early in the game? Did you think they had it in them to come back at that point?
Well, I thought they offensively had it in them. The way the defense had struggled the first two games of the year, I started to worry a little bit, thinking, well, you know, you're down 14-0. You haven't really proven that you can consistently stop teams. But I thought this was one of those, you know, I always kind of talk about the different things that go into an upset. Now, not that losing to Cincinnati is a huge upset. I mean, they're a very good team and they're playing at home. But usually you get a special teams blunder early in the game that puts you down in a hole, and those are usually games that have a hard time winning. Any team does. It doesn't matter if it's the Packers, if it's the Chicago Bears, or if it's the Carolina Panthers. When you give up points on special teams early and get down two scores, it's really a tough hill to climb. So I was a little bit concerned. I thought, well, this is one of those they're going to lose. I kind of had them at the beginning of the season, starting out 1-2 and still finding a way to win 10 games. So I was like, okay, well, I guess this is a game where, you know, things just don't go their way. So early on, I thought this was going to be one of those games where they just had to chalk it up to not being their day.
Okay, well, I'll ask you this then. How did you feel when the Packers scored 30 unanswered points and at one time were up 30-14?
I thought the defense, first of all, I thought the defense did a phenomenal job. Because, again, 14 points were scored based on turnovers. I mean, if you want to count the fumble by Ross, because, you know, he gave him such a short field. I thought the defense played well. And they got up 30-14. I thought, you know what? This is one of those games where Aaron Rodgers didn't have a great game, but the defense and the running game held them in there. I didn't think there was any way they could lose that game. But then I started thinking, as we got to the end of the third quarter, I'm like, okay, if the Packers can hold them out of the end zone until at least the beginning of the fourth quarter, they should have time on their side. And then, unfortunately, they were able to score. Then I started to think, okay, they're still in the driver's seat. All they have to do is extend some drives, not turn the ball over. Obviously spoke too soon, because then after that the turnovers came. But when they were up 30-14, yeah, I thought they had it in the bag. I thought this was going to be one of those games where they went on the road, they escaped, they're going to go into the bye week 2-1, but that didn't happen.
Obviously an inability to close out the game there. We're talking to Scott Wisniewski of the Kielbasa Kings podcast at BuckiesFifthQuarter.com. Scott, Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy, kind of both of them, get a little bit of blame placed on their shoulders with their inability to close out close games. Games decided in the fourth quarter, games decided by 4 points or less, or even within a touchdown of the opponent. They both have a losing record. And, you know, I realize sometimes it's, you know, maybe not fair to blame it totally on Aaron Rodgers, but Mike McCarthy's responsible for the team as a whole. You know, is this ever going to change?
I think it can, because I think he's an exceptional coach. I just think it's a tale of two halves of his career. When Aaron Rodgers was there as a rookie, Aaron Rodgers did bring the team back and did take leads in games in the last 2 minutes of the game. And then the defense was such a sieve that first year, that 6-10 season, that they would come right back down and score, and then Aaron Rodgers would get the ball with 30 seconds left. And then they'd say, well, look, he couldn't bring the team back. Well, kind of hard to do. But lately, the last couple of years, it seems like when they get late in the game and they have the ball and they're running their no-huddle offense that usually is very successful early in the game, for some reason, again, the play calling seems a little bit disjointed. Maybe it's hard to say that maybe they rush a little too much, because you have to rush in a two-minute drill, but it just seems like they don't have the same crispness when they're running that offense in the last 2 minutes like they're doing when they run it the first 58 minutes. It's puzzling to me, because they have the same personnel on the field. They have one of the best quarterbacks in the league. They have a great receiving core, and they have a really good play caller in Mike McCarthy. Why can't they do it when they're down? Maybe it's just one of those, maybe it's just it's unfortunate luck. Maybe it's just a coincidence, because they certainly have personnel that they should be able to lead, you know, fourth quarter comebacks in the last 2, 3, 4 minutes of the game. But for whatever reason, they've fallen short.
Yeah, it is puzzling. I'm not sure I can put my finger on it either. And maybe it is just dumb luck. I don't know. We'll see as their careers play out. But, Aaron Rodgers didn't have a good game yesterday. He had his first 2-interception game since 2010. I think some people kind of pointed to that first half goal line run. Rodgers kind of got hit a little bit helmet to helmet. Do you think Rodgers was concussed, or if not, you know, what was the reason for his uncharacteristic play?
Well, you know, I don't know if he got concussed on that play or not, but I did see that play, and I thought, no, there's another hit. It was almost like the hit Lacy took, you know, same part of the helmet. But then there was another play right before he started throwing the interceptions. It was on a running play where he went out and was a lead blocker, and it looked like he took a hit there too. And then, you know, right after that, he threw the first pick, and then he threw the second pick on the next drive. So some people think he could have gotten hit there too. And maybe got his bell rung. Now he'll never admit to, nobody ever likes to admit to having a concussion, obviously. So if he was, we'll never know. It could have been a factor, but I think he was out of sorts from the beginning. I mean, from the opening drive, it just seemed like, I think it was the second drive of the game where he kind of yelled, not, I don't want to say yell, that's where he was kind of correcting a receiver on a route right away. Mm-hmm. And it just seemed like there was something not right, not in sync with him and the offense from the beginning. But you know what? That hit did look pretty scary. He certainly could have been concussed. Now, on a play he didn't get concussed, the other play that really worried me, and I think the Packers dodged a bullet, it was a play in the fourth quarter where he was running towards the sideline, and he got rolled up on his knee. I have no idea how he managed to walk away without a severe injury there. But everybody's, every Packer fan, every coach, I think they had a collective sigh of relief when he was able to get up and walk away. Because when I saw that play over and over again, I had no idea how he didn't get injured on that play. As far as the hit to the helmet, I certainly think there could have been something there. And you know what? Aaron Rodgers has had concussion problems before. And the more concussions you get, they say, the easier it is to get another one. So I think anytime you see him take a hit to the head, you have to be worried as a Packer fan or as part of the organization.
He just took a lot of hits in general yesterday, you know, between the sacks, and then there were a few times where he released the ball and got hit by a Bengals defender. So Aaron Rodgers is going to be a little dinged up today, I think, no matter if he has a concussion or not. But, you know, kind of in general, the injuries are mounting here for this Packers team. Clay Matthews doesn't play the second half of the game. Jermichael Finley has a concussion. James Starks leaves the game. And that's just guys who got injured yesterday. I haven't even mentioned Morgan Burnett, Casey Hayward, Eddie Lacy, John Kuhn yet. Is this team going to be able to avoid the injury bug the rest of the season, Scott?
You know what? My answer would probably be no, because they haven't been able to avoid the injury bug for the last 4 years, going back to, you know, the year before the Super Bowl season.
Well, they did in 2011.
Sure, for the most part. But this team has a history over the last 5 years of being the most injured team in football. Why that is, I don't know. I started to question it last week because this team seems to have an abnormal amount of hamstring injury. And you wonder if it's, you know, obviously 99% of me thinks that that's just fluky luck, bad luck in their case. But you start to wonder, why do they have so many hamstring injuries? What's going on? Is it a stretching program? I mean, obviously, that's certainly probably not the case. This is an NFL team with the best trainers in the world. I get that. And here's the thing. The bye week does come at a good time for them. So it's like a good news, bad. The good news is most of these injuries, you would hope with the 2 weeks off now, they should be able to recover, and we should be at full strength. The Packers should have everybody back on the field by the time they face Detroit. The bad news is there's not another bye the rest of the year. So now you have to play 12 weeks and hope that, you know, you're able to stay relatively healthy and start fresh and hope that you don't pile up some injuries along the way. Now, 12 weeks in a row to go, you're going to have guys get dinged up, and you're going to have nagging injuries as you get later in the year. So that's the drawback to having the early bye week. But in the Packers' case, they need it. With the injuries they have, they got to get those guys on the field. They got to get Burnett. They got to get Hayward. They got to get Matthews back on the field. And I think Eddie Lacy back on the field, and he should be fine from his concussion by the time they reconvene against Detroit. So from that standpoint, the bye comes at a good time. It helps them get healthy, but 12 weeks is a long stretch to go, hoping that you don't accumulate any injuries along the way. So I'm inclined to say they're going to have some more injuries. How severe they're going to be, you hope they're not severe. You hope they're not the key personnel. You hope that there's some depth there at the positions if they do have some injuries. I'll tell you where they can't afford injuries. They can't afford injuries on the offensive line, and they can't afford injuries, obviously, to their quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, so if they start losing players there, they're going to be in trouble. Otherwise, you know, I think they should be able to get through the bye week and come back relatively healthy.
You know, it's interesting. I get five tweets a week and about the Packers, either training staff, their strength and conditioning staff, or the medical staff, you know, questioning, you know, if there's a problem there. And nobody's able to really get down to the bottom of the issue here, but it is weird. Scott, before we let you go, you know, give me a prediction here for the way the rest of the season plays out. Can the Packers bounce back? How will they do?
Well, you know, it's funny because I was frustrated with the loss yesterday because of the way they gave up that lead, but I still picked them at the beginning of the season to lose this game. I think they're a 10-win team. I still think they can win this division. I know the Bears are 3-8, but the Packers, you know, still have all their division games left in hand, starting with Detroit after the bye. They got two games, obviously, with Chicago. So I think they still control their own destiny from that standpoint. I think personnel-wise, they're still the best team in the division, but the Bears are a good team, and I cautioned everybody about that in preseason. I said, look, the Chicago Bears are probably the number two team in the division, and they're not too far behind the Packers. But I think the Packers win 10 games. I think they win this division. And if they can stay healthy, you know, they can make a run in the playoffs as long as they avoid having to go to Seattle, which I think is just going to be a tough place for anybody to go at any time of the season.
Yeah. I mean, it would definitely be a tough place. I'm not sure if they can avoid that, though. If they're going to make the Super Bowl, I think it's going to run through Seattle.
You're right. It is, but you want to avoid them. I think in the first playoff game,
sure.
First Seattle game, you want somebody else to have the first shot to knock them off. I mean, if you remember, that's kind of what happened in the past Super Bowl year. They were able to. You know, I don't want to say catch a break. They knocked off Atlanta, which was the best team, and then some of the other "quote unquote" favorites got knocked off by other teams. And I don't misunderstand. I'm not saying they had an easy run, but if somebody else can take care of Seattle for you, I think that makes it a little bit easy.
Hopefully, the Packers can get themselves a bye. They'll avoid the wild card round, and then maybe get a divisional game of their own opposite Seattle. We'll see. Scott, tell us about the Kielbasa Kings podcast for those people who are maybe listening to this show, who like listening to podcasts, but maybe haven't heard yours yet. Tell them about BuckysFifthQuarter.com, all those good things.
Well, Bucky's Fifth Quarter is a site that's dedicated to anything that's Wisconsin Badger related. Now, our show isn't all about the Wisconsin Badgers, though. You can find us on Blog Talk Radio. You can find us through Bucky's Fifth Quarter. You can also find us on Facebook, the Kielbasa Kings Sports Extravaganza. And during the football season, we actually do two shows a week. We do our regular show, which you can hear every Sunday. That's when we air our show. We're live. You can even call into us if you'd like. And you can also hear us on replay. But on Wednesdays, we do a pigskin spectacular. We talk about the Packers midweek because it's usually right after, it's on Wednesday nights after the media availability. We get the up-to-date injury update. We preview the next Green Bay Packers game, and we preview the next Wisconsin Badgers game coming up that Saturday. So this week we have the bye, so we'll pretty much just talk a little bit about the Packers injuries, and then we'll get ready for the Wisconsin-Ohio State game coming up this Saturday, and we got some great guests. So our next broadcast will be Wednesday when we do our midweek football spectacular.
Well, I appreciate you having me on the show, as I just did this past week previewing the Bengals game, and I appreciate you coming on my show and kind of talking some Packers football here on a Monday morning as we kind of getting over our hangover here from the Bengals loss. But Scott Wisniewski, I appreciate you joining us, and we'll do it again sometime.
It was my pleasure, and you guys are phenomenal. I love listening to your work and reading the things that you guys post. It was my pleasure to be on, and anytime you need me, and of course we'll call on you again several times throughout the season as well.
Sounds good. Take care, Scott.
Thank you.
All right. Scott Wisniewski of the Kielbasa Kings podcast here at CheeseheadTV.com. We appreciate him joining us here on a Monday morning. We appreciate you, the listener, joining us as well. So kind of, you know, reviewing, recapping, looking back at a Packers loss. Unfortunate. Now a 1-2 start to the season. They head into the bye week with a losing record, but they have everything still in front of them. I think this is a team that maybe went through their toughest stretch of the entire season, games 1-3, and now perhaps, you know, getting back into the swing of things, and maybe things will be easier from here on out. Not to say they'll be easy in general. I mean, especially you look at the way the Chicago Bears have started the season. I can't believe how well the Bears have played. Not that I think they'd be a poor team by any means, but to start off 3-0, wow, I'm just impressed with them. And that's definitely going to be a tough game, going on the road to Chicago later in the season. But anyway, long time till then. You know, the Packers get the bye. Hopefully they get healthy, and then they come back and they face the Detroit Lions. I think that's a good way to get back in the swing of things. You know, an NFC North showdown, get a win in the division perhaps. Hopefully that's the way it's going to play out. That's what we're looking forward to here. But anyway, I wanted to take a little bit of time here to throw out a couple things here extemporaneously off the top of my head. And you know, this kind of is my sounding board. This show is this little bit of a sounding board for things I will perhaps write later on. And I think what you're going to see is you're going to get a column from me probably later today as I kind of look back at Sunday's loss. And you know, there's two topics I kind of want to touch about, and one of them has to do with rookie running back Jonathan Franklin. You saw Franklin in his first offensive appearance ever yesterday. First two games of the season, Jonathan Franklin played on special teams, hasn't played a single snap on offense. So all of a sudden, yesterday, thrown into the fire, James Starks goes down with injury, and you're like, whoa boy, the Packers are down to one running back because Eddie Lacy has a concussion, John Kuhn has a hamstring injury. Packers very thin on the running back depth, and hopefully the bye week will take care of that. But for the time being, they are down to Jonathan Franklin and Jonathan Franklin only. Well, I think a lot of people were down on him in the preseason when Franklin didn't look very good. And, you know, I think the biggest part of it was his pass protection, which no doubt about it was shaky. But I think you had to look at it and say, this Jonathan Franklin, he was working behind a second string and a third string defensive line offensive line, pardon me, in the preseason, and just be like, he was working behind guys named Andrew Datko and Garth Gerhardt, guys who aren't even in the NFL right now. I think Gerhardt may be signed in the practice squad with somebody. Regardless, they're not starting caliber NFL offensive linemen. And I think that's part of the reason he didn't look very good in the preseason. All of a sudden, you get running behind Josh Sitton, TJ Lang, Don Barclay. Things are looking pretty good for Jonathan Franklin. In the first appearance of his career, has a 100-yard game. Packers now with back-to-back 100-yard rushing games from their running backs. That is pretty darn impressive, albeit overshadowed by the fumble, which is unfortunate, and no doubt about it. I mean, you can blame Mike McCarthy for a poor play call, but I mean, if Franklin doesn't fumble it, at least, even if they don't get the first down, it could still be a different outcome to this game. I mean, just as long as he doesn't fumble and then the Packers got to punt it away or whatever, that's fourth down, I'm sorry, would have turned over, but, you know, wouldn't have been returned for a touchdown. It's Franklin, no doubt about it, the fumbles is on him, but still a promising start. And all of a sudden, the depth at the running back position looks a whole lot better, right? John on the live blog says, Franklin's speed and shiftiness is huge for this team. How much patience did Jonathan Franklin show? He allowed those blocks to develop in front of him. I haven't seen that much patience from a running back in Green Bay in a long, long time. It's like those guys want to hit that hole so fast, and I understand that because you know time is of the essence. You can't wait forever. But he just was able to read those blocks, hit those holes, and wow, I was just so impressed with Jonathan Franklin. Packers averaging 6.1 yards per carry yesterday. And you know, I remember writing the blue chips, red chips, cow chips column after the game. And you know, after every game, it's always a controversy who's getting the chips and whatever from the fans. And you know, some people wanted to give the offensive line a cow chip because, you know, the pass protection wasn't all that great. But, I mean, the offensive line, this is also an offensive line that opened holes for 6.1 yards per carry. You know, you can't win. You can't win, I guess. And no doubt about it, David Bakhtiari, the young Packers left tackle, had a poor game. Twice now. He's got to learn how to cut block, or he shouldn't do it at all. I mean, there were some issues there with David Bakhtiari. You saw it the first game of the year. He tries to cut block Aldon Smith of the San Francisco 49ers. Well, it doesn't work, and Smith sacks Aaron Rodgers. Even more crucial moment on Sunday, David Bakhtiari, the last Packers' last offensive play of the game, he goes for the cut block, doesn't get the guy down, and the Aaron Rodgers pass is batted at the line of scrimmage, and game over. Basically, I mean, turn the ball over on downs, and the Bengals just had to kneel it on it there to run out the clock, but. Yeah, David Bakhtiari having a rough game, the worst game of his young career, albeit following up two pretty good games, I think, to open the season. He's young, he's a rookie, no reason to give up on him yet, but got to be improved performance there. And one more thought I kind of wanted to flesh out here a little bit, and maybe later in the week I'll have an opportunity to do so. I think this spells the end of Jeremy Ross's run in Green Bay, or at least should. That is my opinion. He has the first time the Packers received the kickoff the whole game after, you know, the Bengals go up 7-0 early. He muffs the opening kickoff, and no doubt about it, he had to run up to get it. It was a little bit, you know, shorter than they had thought or anticipated, but muffs it. Leads to a turnover, leads to a Bengals touchdown just, what, two plays later. And the Packers are down 14-0 in the first quarter. Jeremy Ross, he might be a great guy, but I'm sorry. You know, I think there's a lot of great guys who don't play in the NFL, and he perhaps shouldn't be playing in the NFL if he's going to turn the ball over with the frequency he has so far. He's played 10 games in the NFL, including playoffs, and he's had a hand in three mishandled kickoffs. Of course, the one fumble in the playoff game that, you know, the Packers lost, that was very costly. And then even before that, and you can kind of maybe place the blame a little bit on Randall Cobb. This was during the 2012 regular season. They kind of try to reverse a lateral from Cobb to Ross on a kickoff return, and it wasn't really a great lateral by Cobb, but Ross kind of mishandles it anyway. And you know, that's the third time in 10 games that Ross has mishandled in some form or fashion a kickoff. And even, you know, on top of that, you know, you take a look at the first game of the season against the San Francisco 49ers. You remember that one instance? John Kuhn is one of the blockers in front of him. He's telling him, stay in the end zone. You can see him, you know, like using his hand motion, stay in. And Ross comes out anyway, and the Packers get tackled at like the 10-yard line, 9-yard line. You know, it's just not working out. It's just not working out. And you know, I don't know what the answer is, whether it's you want to put Randall Cobb back there. Randall Cobb, of course, can do the job. It's just a matter of if you want to expose him to injury. I think the Packers go back to the drawing board and they use – some combination of Randall Cobb and Micah Hyde on punt returns. Yeah, I say start getting Micah Hyde comfortable with punt returns right now. You know, let him and Cobb handle it back there. You know, let Hyde do it as long as he can. And if you want to put Cobb back in a crucial situation, by all means. They've kind of been doing the same with Cobb and Ross right now. And then on kickoffs, hey, get Jonathan Franklin going on kickoffs or somebody. Or maybe Randall Cobb if you have to. But I say get Jonathan Franklin going there. I don't see the advantages of Jeremy Ross on this team. I don't. I'm sorry. It's, you know, I'd rather the Packers bring up a young rookie, Charles Johnson, Miles White up from the practice squad, and they don't even really have to be active, in my opinion. They could be a game day inactive, but, too risky. Too risky. Ross just turns the ball. He's not sure-handed. And I don't want to sit there and wait for him to become sure-handed. We may be waiting forever on that. You know, I don't know. You feel bad. I mean, the risk is all of a sudden he leaves Green Bay and he becomes a solid player. Or, you know, he at least becomes a sure-handed player, not turning the ball over. Then you risk losing him. And you hate to see that happen. But, you know, it just can't happen anymore. You just don't want it. So I say the Packers got to part ways with them. And maybe one final thing here before I let off the podcast. It's the bye week. If the Packers are going to sign a player to an in-season extension, it is now. It is between now and the Detroit game. So just keep that in the back of your mind. I predict it will happen this season. And if there's any time, not to say it has to happen during the bye week, there's no rule regarding that. But if it's going to happen, the Packers could be signing a player to an extension, now. And I'm not sure who that player is. I think some of the likely candidates are cornerback Sam Shields, tight end JerMichael Finley, offensive lineman Evan Dietrich Smith. I think those are kind of your prime suspects. Maybe even defensive lineman / outside linebacker Mike Neal. Maybe wide receiver James Jones. I mean, those are all options here. And hey, the guy who agrees to maybe the best deal is the one who will get it. But that could happen this week. I see a lot of people on the live blog, Ted the Sledge and John, advocating for Sam Shields partially because of his play against A.J. Green. No doubt about it. Sam Shields had a good game. He did give up the one touchdown, no doubt about it. He was at fault, but, you know, he comes up with a nice interception earlier in the game, basically shuts down A.J. Green. Doing a good job. He did great, no doubt about it. I wrote the column earlier in the week. I thought they'd have Tremont Williams up against A.J. Green a whole lot more. Didn't turn out that way. I was wrong. I admit it. Unfortunately, I was right about a Packers loss, losing to the Bengals. I predicted that last week. Not that I take a whole lot of joy in that. I rather would have seen a Packers victory. But there's a lot more time for Packers victories in the future here. Long season ahead. Anyway, folks, thanks for joining us here on a Monday morning. We'll be back on Wednesday. We'll have a regular Wednesday guest, Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. We'll take a look back at this past Sunday's game against the Bengals, kind of go over some of the statistical analysis that Pro Football Focus does with Nathan Yonke. So looking forward to that. And anyway, we'll see you 2 days from now, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time. We are always on. But in the meantime, we'll see you later, folks. Thanks for joining us. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Kirivu. I leave you today with a song called Bali Munster by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack. Go.